When you lash out, you're usually irrational because you're acting out of impulse, not reason. Now you're out of control, and you've lost all sense of what you're supposed to be doing. Instead of feeling cool and prepared, you've lost all sense of focus, and without focus, you fail. When you feel jealousy, you shift all your attention and energy to whoever is making you jealous. Doesn't matter if it's colleague success or your girlfriend's new man. Either way, you're thinking about something other than what you're supposed to be doing. And you fail. The only exception to the emotions rule is anger. Controlled anger is a deadly weapon in the right hands. I'm not talking about a raging volcano that can't be managed from inside or outside, but anger you can restrain and turn into energy. All cleaners have that slow-burning, blue-hot internal anger, and it works if they can control and maintain it. But it never becomes blind rage, and it's never allowed to become destructive. When you channel anger the right way, you get Michael shaking his head in Vancouver and annihilating the game. He didn't slug anyone. He stayed steady and unemotional and turned his quiet anger into results. But it's a fine line. If you don't control your anger, you get violent, throw a punch, argue with the refs, glare at the other players, get completely emotional, and stumble permanently out of the zone. Emotions pull your focus and reveal that you've lost control, and ultimately they destroy your performance. They make you think about how you feel, and you're not supposed to think. You're supposed to be so well prepared that you slide into the zone and perform with grace and purpose. Not possible if your mind is on other things. Of course, cleaners are still human, and like everyone else, they feel the same excitement and anxiety and nerves before a big event. But the difference between cleaners and everyone else is their ability to control those feelings instead of allowing those feelings to control them. Even Michael used to say he had butterflies before a big game. "Get them all going in the same direction," I tell him. "They're not going away, but now you're controlling how you feel about them, instead of allowing them to make you feel nervous. Energy instead of emotion. Big difference." A cleaner thinks, if I'm feeling nervous, how the fuck are they feeling? They have to deal with me. I want you in a routine, and I don't want that routine to vary, whether it's a meaningless preseason exhibition or the championship game of the finals. Do what you do every day so you never have to account for your environment or the situation. Everything stays the same. If it's the night before the game, you have to be able to say, "Okay, I've done everything to get myself to this point. I'm ready." And then enjoy the evening with the family, or friends, or whomever you enjoy being with, doing whatever you enjoy doing. I want you surrounded by supportive people who know what you need and know you can't give a lot back. People who understand you can't take all the uncles and cousins to dinner the night before the big game. Friends who don't get you involved in their drama. No emotion, no added pressure. Because the minute you start telling yourself and everyone else, "Whoa, big game tomorrow, don't mess with me," you become emotional. That's the worst thing you can do. The night before Miami beat Oklahoma City in 2012, I had Dwayne working out in the arena late at night, and his phone was going off every few minutes with teammates texting to say they couldn't sleep, couldn't settle down. I didn't want to hear that. Now you're showing the pressure is getting to you, and you're not in control. I guarantee the youngsters on the Thunder sat around playing video games, fearless and oblivious to what it would feel like to lose at that level, because most of them had never before been there. That kind of innocence doesn't last too long, though. The next time around, they won't be able to sleep either. Think about that intense moment when you're on the top of a roller coaster, right before it sends you into that wild free fall. You know what's coming. You know it's supposed to be scary. Do you scream? Do you panic? Or do you stay calm and fearless because you know you can handle whatever happens next? The difference is what sets you apart from those who give in to the fear and can't control how they feel. While others are getting heated up, I want you to start cool and stay cool, because anything that starts too hot can only get cold. When you want to preserve food and keep it fresh, what do? Refrigerate it. Keep it cool. Make it last longer. As the lights get brighter and the place gets hotter, you should be feeling darker and cooler, pulling deeper inside yourself. This is your zone. All instinct. You can feel your way in the dark while others have to see and hear and watch what everyone else is doing. You go with what you feel. The people who can get into that space, those are your killers. Finding your way into the zone begins with trusting those instincts. And that's where we're going next. When you're a cleaner, you know exactly who you are. A cooler thinks about what he's supposed to think about. A closer thinks, analyzes, and eventually he acts. And a cleaner doesn't think at all. He just knows. We're all born bad. Sorry, but that's the truth. Born bad, taught to be good. Look, if you're already shaking your head and frowning in disagreement, we're not going to get very far. If you want to go somewhere new, you have to throw out the tired old map and stop traveling the same road to the same dead end. I promise, where we're going, you've never been. Born bad, taught to be good. Or if you prefer, born relentless, taught to relent. Think about it. We're born already wired with the most basic instincts that guarantee our survival. Babies don't have to think about their needs. They don't analyze how they feel. They don't plan or decide how to get what they want. They just know, instinctively, that they're hungry, or tired, or wet, or cold, or hot, and they scream until they get satisfaction. Pure, proverbial, innate demands for immediate results. You can't argue with the baby, or try to convince him he's wrong. You can't put your values on him or explain why he can't eat right now. Babies tell everyone how it's going to be, and that's how it is. They follow their instincts. They thrive. They get what they want. Babies are completely, naturally, insatiably, relentless. Within a couple of years, they're running around and hollering like crazy, making messes and shoving more food in their hair than in their mouths. Why? Because they're two, and that's what their instincts tell them to do. And then, the grown-ups start reading books about the terrible twos and ruin everything. Be quiet. Sit still. Don't run around. Stop crying. Wait your turn. You're going to hurt yourself. Just behave. Why can't you be more like your brother? Be good. We take all those powerful natural instincts, those instantaneous gut reactions, we chalk them up to bad behavior and do everything possible to shut them down. What a waste. All that natural energy, drive, intuition, action, reduced to a timeout in the corner. From the time you're a toddler to the time you're an adult, you've been taught to be good. What's wrong with the way you were? Born relentless, taught to relent. Can you even remember a time when you weren't being taught limitations and compliance, watching what everyone else was doing, scrutinizing the options, worrying about what others would say? At some point you stopped doing what came naturally and started doing what you were told. You took all your crazy urges and ideas and desires, and you stuffed them down where no one could see. But right now, right this minute, you know they're still there. And the part of you that you don't show anyone else, the part that refuses to be taught, refuses to conform and behave, That's the dark side of your instinct. You cannot be great without it. Picture a lion running wild. He stalks his prey, attacking and killing at will, and then goes in search of his next conquest. That's what his lion instincts tell him to do. He doesn't know anything else. He's not misbehaving. He's not bad. He's being a lion. Now, lock him up in the zoo. He lies there all day, quiet and lethargic and well-fed. What happened to those powerful instincts? They're still there, deep inside, waiting to be uncaged. Let him out of the zoo, and he goes lion again, praying and attacking. Put him back in the cage, he lies down. Most people are the lion in the cage, safe, tame, predictable, waiting for something to happen. But for humans, the cage isn't made of glass and steel bars. It's made of bad advice and low self-esteem and bullshit rules and tortured thinking about what you can't do or what you're supposed to do. It's molded around you by a lifetime of overthinking and overanalyzing and worrying about what could go wrong. Stay in the cage long enough, you forget those basic instincts. But they're there, right now, waiting for you to find the key to the cage so you can finally stop thinking about what you'll do if you ever get out. All that killer instinct is just waiting to attack. What's stopping you? Can you be reasonably successful by just following directions and staying within the lines? Sure. That's what most people do. But if you're talking about being elite, if you want to be unstoppable, you have to learn to put aside everything you've been taught, all the restrictions and limitations, the negativity and doubt. If that sounds complicated and confusing, let me make it simple. You have to stop thinking. It's so basic. Are you good at what you do? Maybe even great at what you do? Can you be the best? Yes? If you said no, I'll give you a moment to change your answer. Again, can you be the best? Of course you can. Then why are you still questioning your ability to do it? Quick answer. Because at some point, you made something simple into something complicated, and you stopped trusting yourself. I get frequent calls from athletes who are completely overwhelmed by all the experts and trainers and nutritionists and coaches, everyone throwing so much at them that they lose the natural ability that made them great in the first place. Anyone who has ever taken a golf lesson understands this. You start out with a decent swing, completely natural, and by the time you're done, you have so much to think about you can't remember why you took up golf in the first place. Anytime you take natural instinct and try to change it, you're going to have a problem. You can build on it, add to it, improve it, but you cannot tame it. There's a difference between training and taming. You can train people to reach higher and be better and go further than they would on their own. But taming means training them to be something less. As the boxer Leon Spinks once said when asked what he does for a living, "I knock motherfuckers out." That's it. Simple. You don't mess with it, alter it, teach it to be something different. That's natural instinct. Leave it alone. Everything you need is already inside you. You are completely wired with instincts and reflexes specifically designed so you can survive and succeed. You don't have to think about using them. They're always working. Reflexes are easy. If I whip a ball at your face, are you going to stop and think about what to do? No. You catch the ball, or duck out of the way, or you get a busted face. At the very least, you're not going to flinch. If I flick something toward your eyes, you blink. If you touch something hot, you pull your hand away. We're all born with those basic survival skills. You can't teach or unteach them. They're just part of you. You don't have to think about whether those reflexes will come through. They just always do. That's how I want you to envision instinct. Not thinking. Just the gut reaction that comes from being so ready, so prepared, so confident that there's nothing to think about. If you're driving and suddenly the car ahead of you slams on its brakes, do you pause to consider all your options or stop to ask for advice? No, you slam on the brakes. No thought, no hesitation, instant response, based on experience and preparation. If you think, you die. When you just know, you can act. Whether you're playing a sport or running a business, it's the same concept. You don't need to schedule a meeting to discuss a decision. You just make the decision. Your instincts become so finely tuned that you have a reflexive response that allows you to attack without thinking. In other words, you're in the zone. Go back to that lion stalking his prey. Silent, determined, focused, instinctively knowing that whatever the victim does, he has no chance. The lion waits, 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 until that inevitable moment of weakness. Attack. Done. Next. He doesn't have to be shown what to do or how to think. He knows. So do you. I guarantee when Kobe retires someday, every single story written about him will talk about killer instinct. And they should. He's the ultimate athletic predator. As a competitor, he locks in on his target, and from that moment, nothing can deter him. He doesn't see or hear or feel anything but the desire to conquer. There's nothing in between him and his prey. He craves it, needs it, and like a true cold-blooded killer, he's prepared to attack. But people talk about killer instinct as if it were a slogan on a t-shirt, a careless cliché used to describe a fierce competitor. TV commentators sit around discussing it as if it were something in the playbook.
So when can we expect to see that killer instinct? Oh, it usually kicks in around the fourth quarter.
They have no clue. Anyone who has actually experienced its raw power knows it can't be summed up in a couple of words. And most people who claim to have killer instinct rarely do, because when you have that kind of power, you don't talk about it. You don't think about it. You just use it. Tough challenge to stop thinking about what others tell you to think. Your coach, your boss, your family, teammates, colleagues, they're all experts on what you're supposed to be doing, and they rarely hesitate to tell you. Some of the greatest athletes in any sport can't fight the need to overthink. They study all the film, watch the same replays over and over and over, break down every motion to analyze and prepare the right response to different situations. That's a closer. Learning how to react to someone else's action, waiting for the right moment to respond. But what if that moment doesn't arrive? What if the opponent does the unexpected and goes in a different direction? Now, the closer has lost his feel for the actual game. He's so completely determined to recognize something he saw on film, waiting for that specific situation, trying to remember all the right answers. Instead of playing his own game, he's playing the other guy's game, reacting instead of acting, overthinking, overanalyzing. That's how you lose the natural ability that made you great in the first place. That happens to coaches all the time. Some know all the X's and O's, but they watch so much film that they have no personal perspective of what's actually happening on the floor. They can tell you every nuance of what they're seeing on the video, but when a real game gets out of hand, it's as if they're playing Xbox without a controller. No video to rely on, no instincts, no chance for success. When you become too focused on what's going on around you, you lose touch with what's going on deep inside you. Those are the guys who are perfect in practice, but blow it when it counts. They can't find the zone. They're distracted by their own thought process, and they don't trust themselves. They're thinking about everything that can go wrong, thinking about what everyone else is doing, thinking instead of knowing, without a doubt. I got this. Michael was the master of not thinking. Before every game, the Bulls coaching staff would have a team meeting, go over the game plan, talk about the opponent and what to expect. They'd hand out a sheet with plays, basic information, just something for the players to review. Michael would get up, grab the sheet, and go in the other room. Every time. He didn't want to hear what everyone was supposed to do. He already knew it. What are you going to teach him at that moment? Absolutely nothing. If there was something he needed to know, he knew it long before you did. He knew way in advance what he wanted to learn, and how to learn it. He sure as hell wasn't going to wait for game time to find out. His mastery of the game was so flawless, it didn't matter what was coming at him. He was ready. Like all cleaners, he didn't study the competition. He made the competition study him. Other guys sat there analyzing and contemplating what might happen. He didn't have to. He knew his skills and knowledge were so finely tuned that he could dominate any situation. He worked so long and hard that his body and mind reflexively knew what to do at all times. With Michael, everything became automatic. He repeated those same movements over and over until he didn't have to think about anything. He only had to let those instincts take over. The greats never stop learning. Instinct and talent without technique just makes you reckless, like a teenager driving a powerful, high-performance vehicle. Instinct is raw clay that can be shaped into a masterpiece if you develop skills that match your talent. That can only come from learning everything there is to know about what you do. But real learning doesn't mean clinging to the lessons. It means absorbing everything you can, and then trusting yourself to use what you know instantaneously, without thinking. Instinctive, not impulsive. Quick, not hurried. Knowing without a doubt that all the hours of work have created an unstoppable internal resource you can draw on in any situation. Having the maturity and experience to know who you are and how you got to the top, and the mental toughness to stay there. That was Kobe as the oldest player on the USA basketball team at the 2012 Olympics in London. Surrounded by superstars much younger than his 33 years, they were calling him OG, as in original gangster. He was asked by reporters if he could learn anything from the younger guys. He said, no. You know everything? Asked a reporter. I don't know if I know it all, he said, but I know more than they do. When you're willing to hit the gym 3 times a day to take shots and work on every detail of your game as Kobe does, you're pretty much ready for anything. He watches a ton of video, breaks down every shot, but he also works relentlessly on what he learns from that video. That's a cleaner. Not just learning, but taking what you've learned and creating ways to improve on it. Every action becomes instinctive if you're willing to put the time and sweat into building your arsenal of spontaneous responses. Especially for a veteran player who knows his maturity and experience and seasoned instinct are priceless compared to that of a kid with fresh legs and a 10-cent head. You want to see raw cleaner instinct? Find a video of Larry Bird in the 1988 All-Star Game three-point contest against Dale Ellis. Bird had won the competition the 2 previous years and was coming back to defend his title, and he made sure there was no doubt he was there to win. "Who's finishing second?" he asked the other players in the locker room. It wouldn't be him. After every shot, as soon as the ball left his fingertips, he turned back to the rack to get the next ball. Never watched a single shot after it left his hand. Some went in. Some clanged off the rim. But he never looked. He was already halfway off the court, headed back to the bench by the time the winning ball went in. He never even took off his warm-up shirt. All instinct. He didn't have to wait to see what would happen. He already knew. Stop waiting to be taught something you already know. How many millions of diet and exercise books are sold every year? I promise you, every single person who picks up one of those books already knows the answer. Eat healthier and move your body. You can eat these calories or those calories. You can move this way or that way, but the result is the same. And you already know that. You bought that book already knowing what you had to do. You were just waiting for someone to tell you. Again. And instead of just making the decision to eat healthier and move more, for a lifetime, not just for 21 days or 5 hours a month or whatever the trend prescribes, you sat down with the book to analyze the situation. Trust me, no one ever lost weight sitting on the couch with a book. I'm not telling you to stop searching for answers, but learn about yourself and then trust what you know so you can build on what you already have. It's not science. Instinct is the opposite of science. Research tells you what others have learned. Instinct tells you what you have learned. Science studies other people. Instinct is all about you. Are you willing to base your decisions and actions on research done by and about people you don't know, whose best advice is to tell you to change? Who knows you better than you know yourself? Oprah once said, "Every right decision I've ever made has come from my gut, and every wrong decision I've ever made was a result of me not listening." Exactly. Of course, she also spent 25 years doing a show for people who preferred listening to her instead of listening to their own gut, as she told them whom they should believe and what they should do and how they should change. Every day, millions of people showed up to hear someone tell them what they were doing wrong so they could receive instructions on how to live according to someone else's standards. I wonder if any of those people came away understanding this. People don't change. You can make millions of dollars or lose millions of dollars. You can get a promotion or lose your job. Gain 40 pounds or lose 40 pounds, but you're still the same person. Exactly the same. You can change environments and spouses and careers. You're still the same person. No matter what you try, it's a temporary deal. Sooner or later, you're going back to your natural self. Remember my undelivered note to Dwayne? It read, "In order to have what you really want, you must first be who you really are." That's a cleaner. When you look inside, you see what's real. When you look on the outside, you can only see images and what people want you to see. A manipulated picture of the truth. Ask yourself, what would it feel like to just let go of all the external pressure and expectations and just be yourself? I know you're thinking, it's not that easy. Well, it doesn't have to be easy. If it were easy, everyone would do it. Lots of people start things. Few are able to finish. Why? They don't trust themselves to get to the end. They start thinking about everything that could go wrong, second-guessing their choices, listening to others instead of listening to themselves. Anyone can have a great idea, but it's what you do with the thought that defines you. In a cooler, an idea will travel from his brain to his mouth. He has to talk about it, discuss it, share it with others for feedback and approval. In a closer, it travels farther down toward his gut, but instead is diverted toward his heart, where it becomes slowed down by emotion and more thought. In a cleaner, though, a thought moves straight to the gut, where instinct takes over and puts it into immediate action. That's the ultimate difference between a closer and a cleaner, by the way. A closer thinks about what he wants. A cleaner feels it. A closer tells his heart what he wants the outcome to be. A cleaner's heart decides on its own. He never has to think about it. Total confidence in his gut. The difference is that millisecond of pause between thinking, "I can do this," and not having to think anything at all. When you're great, you trust your instincts. When you're unstoppable, your instincts trust you. Instinct is what tells you how to finish the fight. When you're listening to a mess of external directions, you're going to end up trying a million little things without complete confidence that any of them will work. But when you're trusting yourself, you have the focus and efficiency to pinpoint the one big move that will do the job. Think about a boxer who can go around and around in the ring, ready for anything, until suddenly he seizes the moment he's been waiting for. No wasted motion, no panic, no room for error. He's played the moment in his mind so many times, he's so prepared, he doesn't have to think about it. He knows exactly what to do. That's instinct. Believe what you know about yourself. When I decided to get a degree in kinesiology, everyone said, "Oh, you're going to be a gym teacher?" "No, I'm going to train pro athletes." "You can manage a health club." "No, I'm going to train pro athletes." There's zero chance you'll get anywhere if you allow yourself to become paralyzed by soft excuses and countless reasons why you'll never get to where you want to be. Trust your gut to navigate the hard road to get there. The satisfaction and sense of achievement will blow your mind when you finally arrive, knowing you arrived on your own, with only your instincts to guide you. Stop thinking. Stop waiting. You already know what to do. But instinct is only one half the formula. You can't be a relentless competitor without a trip to the dark side. And that's where we're going next. When you're a cleaner, you have a dark side that refuses to be taught to be good. A cooler tries to fight his dark side and loses. A closer acknowledges his dark side, but isn't able to control it. And a cleaner harnesses his dark side into raw, controlled power. You know the story of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde? A respected, upstanding doctor discovers a potion that temporarily turns him into a dark, sinister predator, and for a while, he finds he enjoys being free from fear and morality and emotions, not caring about anyone or anything. For the first time in his life, he does what he feels, not what he's been taught. Jekyll lives quietly by the rules. Hyde acts on impulse and instinct. He exists only in Jekyll's zone. Hyde does whatever he wants and doesn't care about consequences or whom he has to destroy in the process. It's the same guy, same inborn urges, but they can only be unleashed when Jekyll becomes Hyde. Jekyll lives in the light, Hyde exists in the dark, and those instincts can only come out when that dark side is allowed to surface. That's what we're talking about here. A transformation into your alter ego, your dark side, becoming who you really are, who your instincts drive you to be. Of course, Hyde was a psychopath, and I'm not suggesting that you go that far off the rails. But if you want to climb out of your rut and get up to the next level, you have to leave your baggage behind. It's Superman shedding mild-mannered Clark Kent's suit and glasses. The Incredible Hulk going green. Batman putting on the cape, the Wolfman howling at the moon. It's the ability to voluntarily, or involuntarily, drop all the bullshit and inhibitions and allow yourself to do just what you do, the way you want to do it, performing instinctively at the most extraordinary level. No fear, no limitation, just action and results. Remember where we started the discussion on instinct? Born bad, taught to be good? Welcome to your dark side. Deep inside you, there's an undeniable force driving your actions. The part of you that refuses to be ordinary. The piece that stays raw and untamed. Not just instinct, but killer instinct. The kind you keep in the dark, where you crave things you don't talk about. and you don't care how it comes across to others because you know this is who you are and you wouldn't change if you could. Which you can't, because no one really changes. You can try. You can make promises. You can seek help and read books and learn ways to suppress your basic nature, but the real person inside you stays the same. It has to. That's who you are. It's not bad, it's not good, it's just your natural, untamed instinct telling you what it wants and driving you to get it. Sex, money, fame, power, success, whatever you crave. And before you try to tell me you don't have a dark side, let me promise you, everyone has a dark side. In your head right now, think about the things you don't want anyone to know about you. It's okay. No one will know. The secrets you keep, the maneuvers that have helped you along the way, your desires, your greed, your ego, the lust you feel for things you're not supposed to have. That's your dark side. You need it. Because if you haven't figured it out by now, it's the essential link to getting into the zone and achieving what you want. Fact. I've known a lot of very successful, highly driven individuals, and without exception, every single one has a dark side. Their dominance and ability to go off the charts are all driven by something deep and intense. It fuels and sustains them. The fire to prove greatness, sexual energy, insecurity, it's something different in every person. But it's all about going to that side of yourself that no one else can see. Getting rid of the safety net and judgmental opinions that hold most people back. Letting go. Give me an honest answer. How many leaders in sports or business or Hollywood or politics, the top names in any field, can you name with 100% confidence they'll never be involved in a scandal? They don't have to be celebrities. It doesn't even have to be a public scandal. How many powerful people would you trust to never get tangled in some kind of moral, ethical, legal, marital, financial, or personal controversy? That's what I thought. Not too many. And guess what? That's how they became powerful in the first place. They're not bad people. They're just not content to be upstanding, complacent Jekyll. I know conventional wisdom gives you every reason to stay out of trouble, resist temptation, and live a clean and virtuous life. But being conventional is for those content to be ordinary, and ordinary isn't going to take you to the top. Every time you hear about one of those people, a politician, CEO, athlete, celebrity, involved in something scandalous, you shake your head, thinking, what an idiot. You're looking directly at his dark side. He knew what he was doing. He knew the consequences before he did it. And he did it anyway. He could have controlled his actions if he wanted to, and he didn't. Why? Because when you're used to winning, you want to keep on winning at everything. That relentless drive to control the uncontrollable, to conquer everything in your path, that's the dark side driving you to be who you really are. No challenge too great, too intimidating, too dangerous, because you have zero fear of failing. Zero. The satisfaction doesn't come from the risk, it comes from mastering it. I own this. The more you take on, the more powerful you feel. You don't get to be the best at anything without blistering confidence and an impenetrable shell. You get there by taking huge risks that others won't take, because you rely on your instincts to know which risks aren't risks at all. When you're standing at the edge of the zone, it's your dark side that drives its seductive finger into your back and whispers, "Go." The dark side is your fuel, your energy. It excites you, keeps you on the edge, recharges you, fills your tank. It's your one escape, the only thing that takes your mind somewhere else and allows you to blow off steam for a brief time. For some, it's sex, especially sex with someone they're not supposed to be with. For others, it might be exercise, or drinking, or golf. It can be an obsessive need to work, or gamble, or spend a lot of money. Anything that creates a private challenge and tests you to control it before it controls you, it's an addiction as powerful as your addiction to success. The dark side doesn't have to be sick or evil or criminal. You can be a good person and still have this part of you that remains untamed. Think about your classic superheroes. Spider-Man, Superman, Batman. They all fought for good, but lived dark lives. The darkness is simply the part of you that doesn't see the light of day. It's all internal until you act on it, and you only act on it in private or with others you trust to keep your secret. I'm talking about those basic instincts and behaviors that are so personal that you're the only one who really knows what's there. From the earliest age, you were taught those things were bad. Don't touch, don't look, don't say that. So you stuffed them away and learned you shouldn't want them, couldn't have them. But instead, you just craved them more, until you got frustrated with hiding who you really were, admitted the truth to yourself, and finally did what you had always wanted to do. Staying safe means being limited, and you can't be limited if you're going to be relentless. Anytime you've had an internal struggle over what you want versus what you know is right, that's your dark side you're wrestling with. And you can wrestle for a while, but you never win, because the dark side can't be pinned. You can try to control it or contain it, but you can't keep it down. It's always going to get back up and continue fighting to control you instead. Look what happened to poor Dr. Jekyll. He ultimately killed himself when he realized Mr. Hyde, his dark side, was emerging on its own, and he could no longer control the uncontrollable. A cleaner controls his urges, not the other way around. The dark side isn't taking stupid risks and getting in trouble. That would show weakness. You can feel your desires and act on them, or not act on them. Your self-control is what distinguishes you from everyone else. You can walk away or hold back whenever you choose. You reach for the bottle because you want a drink, not because you need one. You can have the hottest women, enjoy them all, but never get too involved. You can spend another hour at the blackjack table and leave while you're still ahead. You stay at the office working late, knowing you should be at home. You watch everyone else stumble over themselves, trying to keep up with you. And then you find the next thing you can win. And the next, because being relentless is a hunger that never subsides. As soon as a cleaner achieves success and the adrenaline rush recedes, he needs more, and he gets it. The high of getting that result is so great, it's just too hard to come back to earth. He needs to devour it over and over, always craving that taste of total and complete satisfaction. But what happens when that satisfaction can only be achieved infrequently? In sports, you can only win that championship once a year. All that competition, hard work, sacrifice, for one shot in an entire year. That's it. Once. If you don't win, it's another whole year. And maybe another. If you're so intensely wired to attack and win, you can't just turn that on and off. It's who you are. It defines you. Never exhaling, never satisfied. We're talking about day after day, year after year, getting on top and staying there, being the best and still wanting to improve, not just thinking about success, but striving to prove it, prove it, prove it. No days off. What are you going to do instead to satisfy that craving? A cleaner has to conquer something else. He's too hungry to wait. Something he can dominate and control. Something that keeps him sharp and competitive so he can keep moving on to his next conquest. So he tries something else. Something he can do in solitude to fill that void and satisfy that insatiable competitive urge he can't get any other way. Something that allows him to remain in the zone as a predator, a relentless mastermind with killer instinct. The ability to show up at the gym every day and do what no one else is willing to do, that comes from the dark side. The drive to get to the top and stay there, year after year, dark side. A cleaner with a strong dark side can succeed at whatever he chooses, and his path is usually determined at an early age, by his family, or environment, or culture. One way or another, he is going to be the best at something. A positive impact on his life might channel him toward business or athletics. A negative impact might direct him into a life of crime. Really, is there that big a difference between the instincts of a powerful businessman and a powerful crime boss and a powerful athlete? They're all killers in their field, driven to be the best, diabolical in their strategy for reeling in and crushing the competition, equally relentless in their desire to win at all costs, and none of their victims sees them coming until it's too late. They're not necessarily killing with guns. They're killing with skill and craft and mental weaponry. They're all brilliant at what they do, and they all share the same objective. Attack, control, win. Anything to get the end result. And then they do it all again. And again. Cleaners go home to detach from the dark side. It's the built-in safety valve. That's why so many men fight to stay in their marriages even after they've been caught doing something they shouldn't have been doing. Home is the only safe place they know. Home surrounds you with comfort and security. The force of the dark side comes from somewhere else. You go home to feel safe and loved. You go out to feel excitement. Home is for calm and warmth. Out there is for heat. You may not want to admit it, but you can't deny it. The fire in your gut comes from the dark side, and the dark side has no place at the family dinner table. Cleaners understand this. It's what makes them cleaners. If you're already a cleaner, you know what we're talking about, and you probably can't believe we're talking about it. The dark side has nothing to do with what's happening at home. People try to blame it on that, but they know that's an excuse. It's about how they feel on the inside, and no one, at home or elsewhere, can change that. It's who they are. So they wear a mask of normalcy, not for their own benefit, but to protect those they care about. The face on the mask is the person others want them to be. They know they're not being themselves. The only time you can be 100% yourself is when you're connected to your dark side, but they do what they have to do, so they can ultimately do what they want to do. And then as soon as they can, they go back to their natural selves. They make no distinction between different parts of their lives. The way they work is the way they live, intense, competitive, driven. There is no way to be relentless and do it any other way. Can you control that intensity when you want to, briefly and appropriately? Sure you can, but you rarely want to. When all you think about is winning, you just want to stay in that zone where it's dark and cool, and it's just you and your thoughts. And when you have to, you wear the mask. I don't know if there's a better example than Tiger Woods, whose now famous dark side led him to become involved with a dozen or so women who were not his wife. Of course, that number of women would be a slow week for some pro athletes, but Tiger has done such a good job of wearing the mask and hiding his dark side that people were just blown away by the revelation that Jekyll was smiling for the camera and making the commercials, and Hyde was handling everything else. You want to see a guy in the zone? Watch video of Tiger before the scandal. He'd walk onto that course as if it were built for him, and if you got in his way, God help you. All the experts loved talking about his mental toughness, how his father trained him by intentionally dropping clubs and moving the cart during his backswing, how his mother taught him to get out there and kill them, take their heart. Raised to be in the zone, said the analysts. Then, the scandal broke, and it was suddenly pretty clear exactly what had put Tiger in the zone. Once the story came out, one salacious and painful piece at a time, his career began to deteriorate in every way conceivable. With everyone watching and judging and analyzing every detail of his private life, that dark side evaporated. That kind of energy simply can't survive in the light. It completely loses its power, unless you're willing to stand up and say, "Yeah, so what?" and go right on doing whatever you were doing. That's how you keep your dark side. But Tiger's situation was made even worse by the pressure he felt to make a public apology. Because let's face it, when you're making hundreds of millions of dollars off your image as a clean-cut husband and father, your dark side had better stay in the dark. I have to be honest. As someone who has known and liked Tiger for a long time, I didn't want to see that apology. I wanted to see him say nothing in public and show up ready to fight another day. Like my friend and client Charles Barkley, who threw a guy through a plate glass window in an Orlando nightclub after the jackass threw ice at him. You don't throw ice or anything else at Charles and expect to get away with it. After the judge dropped the charges, she asked Charles whether he had learned anything from the experience. "Yes," he said. "I shouldn't have thrown him through the first floor window. I should have taken him to the third floor window and finished the job from there." No apologies. I wanted to see Tiger handle his situation with that kind of confidence. He built this intimidating reputation of being a killer on the golf course. I didn't want to see him hanging his head. He didn't murder anyone. He stepped out on his wife. It's between him and his family. Worried about losing endorsements? Go win something. They all come running back. I wanted him to go out there and show he was still in command of who he was. Still a killer. Raising his game even higher to show he was still the guy in charge. There is no better way to intimidate the competition. Say, "I went through all this and my game went up. You fuckers have no chance." And here's the part that underscores how deep that competitive drive can be. There seemed to be an unspoken competition among other athletes and high-profile celebs to see who could outdo him and not get caught. How the hell did he get caught? They wondered. I'm never getting caught. And if they did, the game would then be to prove they could still perform at the same level and not miss a step, unlike Tiger, who fell way off his game. Another challenge to win, something new to dominate. To say, "Watch this. I control it all. It doesn't control me. I own this." Some years ago, I knew of a player who decided to challenge his ability to perform after he'd had a couple beers. He drank half a six-pack at halftime just so he could go back onto the court and tell the guy across from him, "I just slammed down three beers and I'm still going to kick your ass." And he would. So that challenge soon became boring. Over the season, he got a couple of his teammates in on the game to test who could drink the most beers at halftime and still play the best. One day, they'd try two beers. Another time, three beers. Four beers. They'd keep raising the bar until two of the guys were practically heading for the wrong bench. So the sole survivor, who started the game, could finally say, "Ha! Kicked your ass!" A ridiculous contest, and I'm in no way condoning it, but how else are you going to test what you're capable of if you don't truly challenge your ability under every possible circumstance? That's what the dark side does. It shuts down the laws of right and wrong and allows you to discover what you're really made of, what you're capable of doing. I worked with a guy who I believed was drinking too much, and I asked him directly if he had a problem we needed to deal with. Now we had a new challenge. "This is not a problem," he growled at me. "Watch, no drinking for a month." And there was no drinking for a month. Challenge conquered. "Look, I don't care if you want to drink. Go ahead. I have no problem with athletes finding ways to relax. They're no different from anyone else in any job. You need to deal with stress? I get it. I've known players to throw back a shot of whatever they needed to relax before a game. And if I make you give it up, you're going to blame me later for messing with what works for you. So go ahead if you have to. If taking that shot is what brings out that dark side and gets you in the zone. As long as you stay in control. Cleaner law. Control your dark side. Don't let it control you. Do you want to smoke, or do you have to smoke? All that nightlife, do you know when it's time to head home, or is it crushing your game? Do you drink because you like it, or because you need it to cope with the pressure you feel? Can you be decent at what you do with an alcohol problem? Probably. But you can't be great. Cleaners never perform under the influence of anything. They place too much value on their mental state to allow anything to affect their minds and instincts and reflexes. Who's in charge? You or your dark side? I knew a guy with an addiction for women who vowed that for 1 year he wasn't going to screw around. This wasn't an athlete living the celebrity lifestyle. He was a respected business owner with everything to lose, and he didn't care. He made it the whole year, straight and narrow. He was completely miserable, but he was committed to proving he could control himself and thought it might improve his home life, because cleaners need that stability. Unfortunately, the damage at home was already done, and ultimately so was his marriage. And at the end of the year, his buddies laughed and said, "You just wasted a whole year." But he had to know whether he was controlling his dark side or it was controlling him. When tales from the dark side become public, everyone usually sits in judgment and thinks, "He couldn't control himself. Weak." But those aren't cleaners saying that. Understand this. A cleaner doesn't want to give up the thing you disapprove of. To him, it's not a weakness. It's his strength, his choice. Weakness would mean giving up what he craved because he was afraid of getting caught. A cleaner earns his alter ego, his Mr. Hyde. It doesn't blindside him. He goes out and gets it. At some point in his life, something challenged him and made him survive, and the result was his total confidence that whatever happened to him, his instincts would cover his ass and he'd be okay. And somehow, he always is. The desire to control anything and everything is so powerful, and his belief in his instincts is so strong, he knows he can't lose. Be honest. Would you be as successful if you followed all the rules and always behaved and never took chances? No. You'd be just like everyone else, scared about failing and worried about being liked. Most people can't begin to comprehend the psychological makeup of an individual who is one of the best in the world at what he does and what he's been through to get there. You can't compare your values and rituals and perspectives with his. You just can't. It's not that his mindset is better or worse than yours. It's just unique. But the bottom line is that he doesn't give a damn what you think about him or his dark side or anything else. Because the only pressure he feels is whatever he puts on himself. And as you'll see, he can't ever get enough of it. When you're a cleaner, you're not intimidated by pressure. You thrive on it. A cooler is never in a situation where he has to be clutch. A closer is clutch in high-pressure situations, but a cleaner is always clutch. Let's get this out of the way right now. There is no such thing as the clutch gene, or if there is, it's not something you should want. When do you hear that expression? When a guy is under pressure, steps up at the last minute, and makes something miraculous happen. Everyone goes nuts about how clutch the guy is, and for days there's a big discussion about the so-called clutch gene. Whatever the hell that is, I still don't know. And who has it, and who doesn't, and how you can tell, and on about this completely false premise. There is no clutch gene. There's your predatory instinct that tells you to attack and finish the fight.